This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 101.
Dalmatians.
No, 101 episodes of our show. What did you watch this week?
I didn't watch 101 Dalmatians.
Okay, but I think there was more, really, wasn't there?
There was a sequel that was like 102 Dalmatians.
Right.
You would have thought that the sequel would have been like 202 or something like that.
Or something more than just 102.
Yeah. Yeah, like what? Adding one more Dalmatian was the tipping point? Like, all of a sudden, now it's out of control?
And realistically,
101 friggin' dogs.
Realistically, no one's gonna own 101 friggin' dogs. I don't care how much you like Dalmatians. In your fucking townhouse in London. Like, it's not gonna happen.
Right. Hey, your neighbors are gonna complain.
Massively.
Because there's all kinds of barking and whooping.
Think of the smell. The smell
alone. Think of the incest.
Think of all the poop.
Yeah, so and those much dogs, poop.
Exactly. When they get breeding age, woof.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez them. That would not be a pleasant
Humpapalooza
to watch.
God damn. Wow. They didn't think that through, did they?
They did not think that one through. No.
I mean, kudos to them for trying to save them from being turned into a jacket.
Yeah.
Which, really, have you ever seen a jacket made out of dog fur?
No.
No. I haven't either.
I haven't.
I don't think that would be very comfortable. Dalmatians are short fur, too.
They're very short fur. It probably wouldn't be very long, like warm.
Boy, there's a lot of poor planning.
Poor planning. Very, very much so poor planning. We're talking about shows and stuff that we watched from Sunday, March the 4th and prior. I feel like I'm caught up.
I have a shit ton of notes that say that I'm caught up.
But we'll find out.
Yes, we will.
You know what I didn't watch?
What didn't you watch?
Arrow.
I actually watched it last night because I was like, oh, crap, it's the one blank spot on my notes.
Yeah.
And you know what my notes were? My first note was Hoss.
Yeah.
My second note was Hoss. And my third note, I went with Hoss.
Did they say Hoss a lot in this episode?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was he just going like, Hoss, Hoss,
yeah,
Hoss,
pretty much.
The whole time?
Yeah.
That's a Bruiser Brody reference.
The big villain of Arrow right now is the characters of Arrow. I mean, that's it. It's the two teams fighting against each other because now Laurel, the Black Siren, has stolen the money from Caden James's bank account that was the money that Oliver was paying him for ransom. Mm-hmm. And so they'll never get the money back if they kill her, but Dinah wants to kill her. So everyone's capturing, recapturing, holding hostage.
I just don't care.
I don't care. I'm watching this and I'm like, this is garbage.
Just simply don't care.
This is just garbage. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with Arrow.
So, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
The team goes over what totems there are in the world. Earth, Fire, Wind, Water, and Heart. And, wait.
Spirit.
That's Captain
But whatever. There could still be a Heart. There's a sixth spirit. One. Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be the power of friendship that they've all come to embrace with each other. And love and friendship and kindness and... whatever. So pirates.
Blackbeard.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pansy.
Yeah. And people always try to take Blackbeard and like change up the legend in some way or another.
Right.
And in this case, yeah, he was a pansy.
Yeah. The best part of this whole episode, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again this week. It's Rip and Wally, 1992, Tokyo, Japan, singing karaoke of George Michael's.
Yeah.
That was the absolute best part
Careless
of this episode.
Whisper.
Yeah. That was the...
which immediately made me think of Deadpool.
Absolutely the best part of this entire episode.
Yep.
Because, really, their whole being together was so nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
It's what... that's what I liked about the most.
Right.
The whole pirate gimmick I didn't care about. Ray zapping Dark's daughter, Ava, with his gun and killing her.
But not really killing
her. Not really. And then going back to save her. And, of course, she's like, Ray. And he's like, oh, you remember me. And then he, like, she kills him or tries to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Shoot her again.
Right.
You got the gun. Shoot her again.
It's proven to work.
Right, yeah.
Shoot them both.
So it's just that. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. But
I feel like with Damian Dark, he's too powerful of a villain, and they try to minimize it by making him do stupid stuff. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, like, he shows regularly that he can just look at somebody, twist his hand around 180, and their neck snaps.
But he doesn't do it.
To the Legends.
Right.
He does it to pirates. He does it to other people.
But never the Legends. Never kills the Legends.
Right.
You know, why would he?
Because it's G.I. Joe versus Cobra kind
of thing. Right, exactly. Why would you kill your head? Like, I kind of wish they do a realistic one sometime. Like, okay, when we get the Mystery Spot episode on Supernatural, or you get, you know, the any of the time loops where people die quickly. I know we just had a time loop one, but still, like, it's just... Because clearly, like, Damian Dark doesn't kill them when he clearly could kill them.
And he could kill them. Even in Arrow, when he killed Sarah, he didn't snap her neck or rip her arms off telekinetically. He stabbed an arrow into her.
Right.
And she died of the septic shock. And
It's like, eventually we're going to get our Logan movie where Wolverine finally gets his rated R. And it can go through killing people.
We did. It was called Logan.
That's what I mean. Okay. With Dark, I mean. With Dark. Okay. Eventually we'll get like our Logan movie where he actually does.
Did you not see that movie? I think we saw it together.
I did. Yeah, we did see it together. But I'm just saying, though, you know, like that's – eventually we'll get that. Hopefully we don't have to wait, you know, what, 15 years or whatever it is.
Right.
I still love – I mean, again, my favorite Damian Dark scene is Return of the Mac. Apparently I enjoy when they spoof 80s music on the show. Yeah. So anyways, I still, the Legends for me, I haven't, nothing's happened this season that's made me not want to watch it like with Arrow.
That is true. Nothing like Arrow. Damian and Nora drawing swords to sword fight kind of really put me off because, again, they have magic. They can shoot fire and telekinetically throw people around. So they draw swords to swashbuckle it kind of. But again, it's not to the level of Arrow.
So we'll see what happens.
Yep, we will.
We'll see what happens. We actually could have already seen what happens. I mean, the episode's already there to watch if we wanted to, because we are recording this on Wednesday the 7th.
Yep.
Wednesday. The Flash. Flash is back. But he's on indefinite leave from CCPD because even though he was proven not guilty...
Something smells funny
for you know, killing DeVoe. Some people just don't trust him. You can tell that because everyone gives him a dirty look. When
yes, the shifty eye, dirty look.
And it's like, and the captain's like, "Hey, I believe you. I know you, but people around here—that's
right.
So we gotta bow down.
I'm the highest ranking officer in here, and I could tell them all how to do their job because that's literally my job. But
that is my job.
I'm gonna back off here and let them have their way.
I wasn't a fan of this episode. I did not like Izzy.
I just called her the Fiddler, but yeah, Izzy.
Okay, the Fiddler. I didn't like her over-the-top accent.
Yep.
Yeah, and then when DeVoe muckled onto her hat.
Yeah, I caught that as well.
You know, to go, she could have just, like, you know, ducked down, taking her hat off. Yeah, so DeVoe's in her body now, and
or how about the fact that she was there for one episode?
Yeah,
they knew her all of 24 hours.
Yeah,
and Ralph fell madly in love with her.
She was special.
Yes,
we had a special.
He could tell they had a special
22 and a half hours.
Yeah,
she didn't listen to me.
Yep,
she ran off and did things on her own.
Yep,
and she got caught. We had a special bond.
That's right. Yeah,
but Barry,
I'll never forget her. That little, what was her name again?
Yeah. I did enjoy Ralph giving Barry the business card and saying, I know what it was like to be ostracized at PD when you didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, Ralph, you were clearly guilty of what you did.
Right.
You know, like, Barry, like, I like the, Barry doesn't let it go. Yeah, no, no, no. You were clearly guilty of what you did. You committed crimes. I mean, you deserve to be kicked off the force, Ralph. Anyhow, I know what it's like, Denise. Barry and Ralph are going to work together as investigators.
And I'm sure that there'll be wacky hijinks with that.
Next week's episode, I really just wanted it to be a Perfect Strangers opening of them. You know?
Uh-huh.
But I guess they're gonna try and find down and save the three remaining metas that DeVoe is still apparently looking for.
I'm glad that they went with somebody who's not a speedster to fight him. However, I'm a little tired of this whole Siler-esque kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Siler was cool about it because Siler actually cut their heads open.
Yes.
You know, and figured out what worked inside of them. This guy built a chair that, like, latches on and goes...
Yeah.
And then he goes into their body. That's not as cool.
And then he absorbs their meta powers, but it's too much for his body to contain.
Right. Which, of course, is leading him to Dibny, which... You know, he's got to do them in order so that the last one that he gets is Dibny so that his body can contain
stretch. It. Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Moving right along... S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what I wanted to move along to.
Okay.
Patrick Warburton as General Rick Stoner was amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
One of those voices where even if you don't see him, you're just like, oh, it's him.
The mustache, the suit, the hair, the look on his face. Hey, everybody. I'm over here now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the little jokes. Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. This episode was so predictable except for one scene. You know, they come back, you know. Deke comes back separately in a different spot, but he, loves Zima, which is kind of funny because it's terrible. But, you know, like...
Beer is terrible. You have something that tastes good? He's like, here you go.
You know, they have to go do something. They have to go find this beacon that's on because it's going to call the Kree. They're the most wanted people in the world. They steal a car. They have a run-in with law enforcement. Which nothing comes of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it was all so predictable. Oh, they meet up with Agent Riddle or Ryder Piper. Roddy Piper. They meet up with Agent Piper, and I'm like, well, she's evil.
Yeah.
She clearly turned against. That's why she's still free. And then, turned against him. Mm-hmm. I didn't see General Hale's daughter being that assassin
right.
in the beginning. You know? And I didn't see Yo-Yo getting her arms cut off.
Yeah. In terrible CGI, but pretty gruesome.
But otherwise, everything that happened was just really predictable, in my opinion.
Yes, it was.
Massively predictable.
The latest thing that I've seen over and over and over and over and over again is that this is going to be the last season. They're writing the season finale as the series finale.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
They haven't officially said that it's canceled yet, but that's how they're writing it right now.
Well, why is that? I mean, it's been a good show.
It's been a good show, but it's been dipping in the ratings.
Yeah.
And I think that they just want to move on. Maybe they want to reboot because now that the whole Disney Marvel thing, you know, maybe they want to change things up a bit.
Maybe.
Maybe they're getting ready for Infinity War and they say that the world's not going to be the same afterwards. So
right. Maybe.
Free up these actors to go star in the movies rather than just TV series. There could be a lot of reasons, but I think the ratings is a big one.
Fair enough. I mean, it was moved to Fridays.
Yeah.
Piper, of course, sees the light and goes back with them.
Yay. Yeah, because we can trust her.
You know what did suck, though, actually?
What's that?
The new robot guy. I just want to call him Echo, but it's not Echo. Noah. No. Yeah, Noah.
Oh, yeah.
Enoch's successor.
Yeah.
That actor, I'm a big fan of him.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Then it gets blown up at the end. It's like, oh, that blows.
Up.
But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was great in Grandma's Boy. He was great as, now all I want to say is Noah, but in Dodgeball.
But I don't know. It's just the episode didn't blow me away. Didn't hate it by any means. There were some great things I liked about it. It was kind of really predictable for what it came back to be.
Right.
So
yep.
Let's see. Oh, let's jump all over the X-Files. Did you watch this episode?
I did.
Weakest episode of the season, perhaps. I don't know.
I really think I said it before and after this episode, I'm really going to say it now. I think that they're trying to be Black Mirror.
Yeah, I mean, this is an episode. None of this makes friggin' sense. Okay, First, there's very little dialogue in this episode.
Almost none.
It's basically, they go to an automated restaurant, that you order automated, there's no wait staff, everything. The chef is apparently a robot, and they don't give him a tip. So then they gang up with all the other artificial things like, you know, a Roomba.
Drones,
home security systems, everything. And they just basically attack Mulder and Scully. Jesus. Mulder and Scully. Until finally Mulder gives them a 10% tip.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically call off the forces. It was very Black Mirror-esque. And it just, I don't know.
But with a dumb twist at the end.
Kind of, yeah, with a dumb twist at the end. It's just, I don't know.
You know, it was supposed to be everything's automated. You know, you're used to these self-driving cars and your Amazon Alexas and stuff like that. And it could take over for you.
It was more technology than I think exists. Like,
yeah.
Like the self-driving car
yeah. thing. Which they have started some of those, but they're not as prolific as they seemed.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. And everything being voice activated, like apparently they don't even dial their own phone. They tell it to dial like that.
Yeah, and her house, I did like when he was like, you live here?
Why is your house so much nicer than
Yeah, but again, like her entire house was integrated with all this smart
technology. Yes, even like opening door, front door open.
Yeah.
Front door open. Like, that would be annoying.
Yeah, that would be annoying. That would be annoying.
That would be annoying. It was what it was.
Yeah. But literally, like, I'm watching the episode, and at first, I mean, you go, what, like 5-6 minutes before anybody says anything? And then it's like minor. They're like,
It's Scully going, Mulder. And the door closes on the car.
Yeah.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And then Mulder gets in his car and, you know.
And they're taking selfies with the food?
Yeah.
What the hell is up with that?
Yeah.
It was, I don't know.
It was different. Okay? It was different. It was, they've done technology takeover episodes in one of the first seasons they did it with a, you know, but it was a lot
Which was funnier back then.
Yeah. It was done a lot better back then. Now it was just, I don't know.
It was way too over the top.
I'm not disappointed the X-Files are back. Okay, not every episode's going to be a winner. I understand that, but whew.
But yeah, this one was a stinker. Yeah. This one sucked.
Yeah. Lethal Weapon?
Lethal Weapon. Still continues to be a great show.
Riggs and...
Movies were okay, but you know.
Yeah. Murtaugh and his wife are fighting. I don't care.
Yeah.
Riggs and the old bag lady there. They're
Swoozy Kurtz.
Yeah, they're chummy.
Yep.
He
played Mahjong,
and he tries to help her, but ends up finding her son. Finds out that she's a little bit more trouble, and she's a crutch. She's right. She's a crutch for them to try and keep sober.
Right. What wisdom in her years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally wrote my notes. Roger and his wife are fighting for no reason.
Basically, yeah.
Like, literally, there's no reason.
Literally no reason. The main story is there's a gun buyback program that gets robbed by some people. Allegedly, one of the guys is an undercover ATF guy who gets arrested. But he's apparently a, what you call it, rogue crazy guy.
Yeah, I was going to say asshole.
Riggs, yeah. Assholes indeed. And so his boss shows up, and then you have the comp between the captain and this other guy's boss for the ATF. You have the competition over whose guy's the bigger loose cannon.
Right.
Which,
spoiler alert, it's Rick.
Which was kind of funny.
Yes.
To an extent, you know, like, you know, something, and I didn't expect, you know, the guy to say, sometimes I just dream about getting hit by a train because it just, you know, then be done. And then he's like, oh, I never thought of that. And then later on, yeah, train would be faster. You know, it's just, some of that was funny.
Yep.
It was a lot funny in how they were comparing. And then I like how Riggs wins at the end. It's like where Murtaugh is trying to convince him that he knows when a gun's loaded and when it's not loaded based on the weight. And he's like, well, prove it to me then. Which one of these is loaded? You know, and then he's going to go shoot the gun in the floor of the police department and runs over. What are you doing, Rick? All right, you win. The guy is more crazy.
Yep. But, good stuff.
Yeah.
I still enjoy the show.
I still enjoy it too, but.
Except for Roger and his wife. Like, literally, we came in the middle of their fight. Like, they're fighting for no reason. We never got an explanation. No, the kids just keep telling him, apologize to your wife. I'm not apologizing.
Yeah, you need to apologize. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother's the one that needs. We're all the captains of our own ship. That was me trying to be Murtaugh.
Yeah.
don't know how I did.
No, you did fine. He's just, he's annoying in that respect. He's fine when he's the partner, and he's fine when he's the voice of reason that way, or, you know, the comic relief that's like, Riggs, don't do that. But when it comes to the whole family life, the stories for him are so thin and so stupid. Yeah. It's like the last season of Scrubs. It's unnecessary.
You know, it really is. Yeah, it is. And I like the character. I like his wife.
Yes.
You know, the character of his wife.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that many times.
I like her quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next?
L.A. to Vegas.
I laughed a lot. I really did laugh a lot in this episode.
Two major stories going on. The dental troubles, because Ronnie has a tooth problem.
And we find out that Artem is a dentist.
Yes. And she's like, nope.
And he's a kid's dentist. Yes. Not only is he a prolific gambler, but he's a children's dentist.
Looking like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And she's just like, yeah, a friend told me about this place, and I didn't realize it was for kids. I don't know. Ronnie! Nope. 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 Nope.
I'm out of here.
And then he sees that, Ronnie, you ran away so fast. Yeah.
But basically, what is it, an abscess in her tooth?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So when she hits a certain height in the pressure, you know, holy
crap. It's a good thing it was taken care of, because if you hit a certain part of the, it's going to be the worst pain, you know. Like, it was good.
And then the pilot fight.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Captain Dave and Captain Steve are on the same flight.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because Captain Steve is not a captain anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Captain Steve, not anymore, at least not until my suspension's over. So I'm just Passenger Steve. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous, but it is so much fun watching these people do this shit.
I like Bernard trying to stop them from fighting.
Yes.
That was funny. And then, you know, Artem's going to work on Ronnie's tooth so he gets the stripper girl, I can't think of her name, to try to
stripper girl works.
Yeah. To get bets.
Yes.
And we wanna make it look, you know, we wanna favor Steve. We wanna have everyone bet on Steve, because that way when then Captain Jack wins, then we'll make all kinds of money.
Right.
And then turns out Captain Steve's been training for months now. He wasn't going to some stupid corporate meeting. He was just on the plane to pick a fight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to kick his ass.
Yeah, he was
preparing for this.
Yeah. And then Ronnie gets them to stop fighting by getting them to realize that they're the same person. So then they compare everything.
Yep.
And they're virtually identical.
Pretty much, yep.
Until they decide they're going to fly together at the end, and they fight over who's going to sit in the captain's chair and who's going to be the co-pilot. And it was a lot of fun.
It was. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I've really enjoyed this season. It's kind of like, all right, how are we going to have a show about just a plane ride from L.A. to Vegas? And that's basically all the show is. And yes, they delve into the characters of the regular passengers and then the flight crew. And then I thought we'd get a revolving door of, like, guest stars each week, like we kind of did earlier. But it's like they've established the regular passengers and the flight crew so much that they don't need to have that revolving door of guest stars. Like, already.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're doing well. I like it. Yep.
Oh, boy. Superstore.
Superstore. Video game release.
Now, you don't have to do this. People don't do this anymore, do they? They don't stand in line for hours for video game release, do they?
They absolutely do.
See, I remember back in the day, like, at Walmart, you doing it.
Yep.
You know? But I figured now with pre-booking everything, you wouldn't have to. You just go in and pick it up when you want to pick it up.
But they'll still do midnight releases so that you can pick it up at midnight and then play it ASAP. So you'll still get people that are lined up for that. The bigger titles, mostly. You know, I talked to the guys at GameStop, and some of them, you know, they'll do a midnight release and like three people will show up. But your Grand Theft Autos, your World of Warcraft expansions, the bigger titles will see people show up in droves for midnight releases. Something like this, where they're just releasing it in the middle of the day, not so much. Because, pre-ordering. But it's the ones that want to get there and play it the moment it hits shelves.
Yeah.
That's where you see a lot of this.
That's not me.
No.
Remember when they used to do that with books, too? Remember, like, the Harry Potter books were really the only ones I knew of where they'd have the midnight releases of the books, and people would be lined up out the door.
Yep, dressed up. And
to buy a book.
Yep.
Like, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
Honestly, except for Harry Potter, I can't think of any other books that anyone did that for. I mean, even living in Maine, when a Stephen King book comes out, people just walk into the store when it opens to get one.
Right, exactly.
But, like, These Harry Potter books, kids wanted them the second they came out so they could go home and stay up all night reading them. And adults, yeah. Brenda's reading the books again at work right now. Yeah.
I was like, is this your second time reading? She goes,
yeah, no.
Yeah, I do it every year.
Yeah, she was reading one. I don't know which one she's reading.
It's Goblet of Fire.
Fair enough. But I go, Brenda, put the book away. I'm going to talk in your ear. And I said, sorry if I'm interrupting you from reading that giant tome. She goes, I've read this at least a dozen times.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
A needle-pulling thread.
Glenn and, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Not Dina.
Sandra.
Sandra. Glenn and Sandra grow a pair.
Yes, or try to at least.
Yeah, and they start telling people off. It's hilarious.
It is.
And when they see this nursing mother just sitting in one of the chairs, hey, you can't sit in that chair. Hit the bricks. It has nothing to do with her nursing and everything to do with this assignment says you're not allowed to sit on the furniture.
Right, exactly.
So then they stumble across a nursing.
Because she called her friends that are all nursing, apparently, yeah. Because when your wife was pregnant or nursing the child, did she have a bunch of friends who were also nursing children?
No, but I will say this. Not with my first two kids, but my third kid, we had a midwife, mm-hmm. and we went to something called centering, mm-hmm. and it was us and like five other couples who all were due at the same time, so we're all in the same class. Instead of going to like your appointments one-on-one with the doctor, you went to the group class together.
Gotcha.
So you would then have like a little bit of one-on-one time at the beginning, and then everything was discussed in groups. Anyone's problems anyone was having was all openly discussed.
Okay.
So, and which was helpful because if you aren't experiencing a problem that someone else is, you'll learn about it. So if you do down the line or whatever. So anyways, all our babies were born about the same time. So had they chosen to.
You could have had like five people.
We could have had like a six-person breastfeeding sit-in.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough then.
But Kate remained Facebook friends with them, and that was it.
Okay. So yes, these people decide to have a feed-in.
I'm so tired.
Mike's getting a little slap
out. I worked last night overnight, folks, and I did.
I like how you say overnight like you don't normally work overnights.
Right, right. I worked my normal shift, yes. Which is overnights. And I got a ton done this morning, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I went to Walmart and picked stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, I went and I filled my gas can for my snowblower for that fucking foot and a half of snow we're getting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I can fill my snowblower, fill my can, fill the vehicle with gas. I went and I got a bunch of frozen peas for some reason. I got some other stuff. I did some mixed up my antifreeze to top off my reservoir. I got the trash up for the trash to go out. I got the load of laundry started while in the washer to start when we're done. I mean, I did a lot this morning already.
Nicely done.
When I got home before you got here.
Nice. So I'm impressed.
I'm busy. Back to Superstore, though. Because
Amy and Jonah find a hidden part of the store.
Okay, first of all. This hidden part of the store they found is absurd because it's not like it's a hallway. It's essentially
another store.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much hidden part of this store. There's no way no one knows it's not there.
Right. And they're following blueprints and like looking for ladders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're like, this is ridiculous.
I did enjoy the fact that they did find the storeroom for the old like recall stuff. And they had, like, you know, like, oh, sugar sticks. She's like, I remember when, oh, yeah, good to 2029, yeah. And he's looking, there's 60 grams of sugar in this thing, or whatever it was, 600 yeah. grams or something ridiculous.
Most like of these that. Ingredients are just colors.
Yeah.
And she's just eating
most of these ingredients are colors. That's right. That was funny.
And then they're playing with all the toys, and we get the montage of them playing with broken toys.
Yes.
The little Nerf shotgun.
They're having a Nerf war, and then he puts it on like hyper and blows a hole in the cement ball.
Chunk right through the cement. Okay. Yep. We'll put that down. The recalls. Yep. Good thing this was recalled.
And then some drink, too. Like a Surge type drink.
Yeah.
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 But there was it was funny the way they did that montage, but it was absurd,
right?
How they going through the walls and everything.
Yep.
I liked how they had the voice actor from one of the characters in the video game was yes. there doing a signing.
Phil Lamar,
and Garrett. That's like his hero.
Yep.
But Garrett's usually the cool one, but he can't be cool. And Mateo's can easily
so talk, bad.
Yeah. And so they're sitting there having, like, a beer together afterwards, and Garrett's just like, I'm usually the cool one. You're not special! And he turns and just starts screaming at him.
Funny point here. Phil LaMarr is a very accomplished voice actor.
Yep.
Like, cartoons, video games. I mean, this guy, you look at his acting credits for voice overwork, and it's astounding. Mm-hmm. He shows up in everything. I mean, like, Family Guy, Simpsons, American Dad, pretty much anything where there's voice acting to be done. They're like, oh, and let's bring in Phil LaMarr, you know, just because.
Yeah.
So that was fun to see him on there. I remember him on Mad TV.
Yes, that's what I – yes, I remember him vividly from Mad TV. Another great part is during the breastfeeding nursing, Dina's giving everyone shit, and then she blurts out, I can't believe I'm having your baby. And Glenn's like, what? You're having my – yeah, yeah, I meant to think – I'm pregnant. Didn't you get my text? And he's like, what? No. And she looks like, oh, wrong Glenn. Hey, I'm having a different Glenn's baby, not yours. Ha ha.
Yeah. Like, you can just brush that under the rug.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's, and then Glenn starts to cry. Oh, you're going to cry now? Like, you know, like, and then the breastfeeding mother is just like, wait a second, you're having her baby? Yeah, my wife's going to be so happy. Your wife?
Because he has a very odd situation going on.
He does have a very odd situation going on, but it was really funny.
Yes.
And then, you know, Amy admits to Dina at the end that she has a crush on Jonah.
Yeah, because, you know, after all their bonding time out back there, and she's like, maybe we could go get a drink or something. And he's like, oh, I told Kelly I'd meet up with her.
Who we didn't even see in this episode.
Nope. They'd be a terrible couple, Amy and Jonah.
You think so?
Yep.
You don't think they could be a good TV couple?
Nope,
I don't think so. They'd constantly fight.
Yep.
I can see that.
I think she wants him, but if she got him, she wouldn't want him because he annoys her.
It'd be, I don't want him.
Yeah.
And all Scrubs and JD and Elliot.
Yeah.
But they ended up together at the end.
They did. Yeah.
I only got one other show.
Bullshit.
Maybe two.
Bullshit.
Okay.
I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 shows.
I must not have watched them then.
This Is Us?
No, we haven't watched it yet. We didn't have time.
The Blacklist?
Oh, I did watch that.
The Detour?
I did watch it. Well, okay, I think I watched the most recent one as well, so I'm probably ahead.
Okay. And Ash vs. Evil Dead?
No. I haven't watched that.
I'm now 2 episodes deep, and you're telling me you didn't watch it?
Here's my plan. My mom doesn't have Stars anymore, so I don't have access to Stars unless I subscribe to Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to wait for all the episodes to be out, and then I'm going to get Stars, and I'm going to purge them. Why don't you wait?
I just don't know you anymore.
Well, no. I'm...
The Good Doctor, I know you watched that. You told me that it was good.
I did watch The Good Doctor, yeah. I forgot. It was good. But no, we should do that together. You should stop watching Ash vs. Evil Dead, and then when all 10 episodes are out, we can purge them. We can binge them, purge them. We can binge them all together. We can binge then purge. People do that.
Yes, they do.
It's wrong, but they do it. I mean, that'd be fun.
All right.
So that's why we haven't talked about the first 2 episodes yet.
Gotcha.
Carolyn.
So,
because I don't have Stars right now.
So This Is Us, you did not watch.
We did not watch This Is Us, no. Was it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The title's called Vegas Baby.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. It's the Bachelor and Bachelorette Party.
Yeah. So, Blacklist?
Blacklist.
Martha Plimpton was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I like her.
Yes.
I do. I enjoy her. She's supposed to be the psychologist that's supposed to talk to Elizabeth and clear her for duty.
Right.
And she clearly has, she clearly has a tremendous bias against Reddington.
Oh, yes, she does.
And I kept waiting for...
some kind of reveal?
I kept waiting for some kind of reveal where they basically blackmail her.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, have incriminating, blackmail her to force her to pass her through. And they never did. Mm-hmm. It was very... I kept waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. Something like that, or I was also waiting for the possibility that, like, it turns out her husband was killed by Reddington or something, you know?
Yeah.
Some kind of deep, dark secret that makes her hate this guy, and she wants to use Elizabeth to get back at him or something.
Yeah, I mean, she basically, like, calls him, like, one of the worst human beings she's ever met. She's basically a serial killer.
Yeah. Which, all of these are true.
Well, it's not false statements, but it's just... her bias is so tremendous, it's like she shouldn't be the one help. And that's the other thing, too, is like, how the frig does she even know about Reddington? I know she's in the FBI, but if she's supposed to be clearing Elizabeth for service, like, She's not on the task force.
Right.
She doesn't know. She shouldn't know that Reddington's Elizabeth's father.
But she has all this. I can only assume that Harold talked to her.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe he, what is it, read her in so that, and that's R-E-A-D, not red as in Red Reddington.
I get it. But I don't know. That just seemed kind of odd to me. Yeah. And I kept waiting for them to blackmail her or threaten her or do something to force her. But at the end of the episode, they still hadn't resolved it. So maybe something will happen next week.
Right.
Or tomorrow night. So the backstory was, is John Bishop? Is that his name?
Yeah. John Noble.
John Noble. Okay. I enjoyed seeing him on the show.
I did too. What a great character too.
Really, sincerely, I mean, he played a character whose job was, his name was Mr. Raleigh Sinclair III.
Yes.
And honestly, this is a really clever scheme where this guy, in this story, this guy catches his wife cheating on him.
Yeah.
And so he hires Raleigh Sinclair to help him murder his wife. And so Sinclair creates a routine for him so that this guy every day does the same thing so he gets people to see him.
Yep.
You know, this guy goes for a jog, and every day on his jog, he waves at the same people, he buys a coffee at the same place, he tips the same musician. I mean, he makes to the point that he waves at all these same people that see him every single day. And then
basically creates an identity for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people, you know, get used to seeing him.
Yep.
Then he finds someone that looks close enough to, like, the guy that wants his wife killed.
Yep.
And he uses his skills of Hollywood makeup magic, whatever, to transform them to look like the other person. Not exactly like, but enough to pass off as them.
Right.
So then while this guy's off killing his wife, the doppelganger is doing his routine. He's doing the running jog. He's tipping the same people, buying the same coffee, waving at the same people, so that when this goes to trial, the guy has a built-in alibi.
Yeah.
So he's getting away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they can, you know, all these people, oh, no, we saw him. We saw him that day doing this, you know, like every
same
single
thing every day.
Yeah. And that was so genius.
Yes.
And it was like 50-something people that he had done this with, we find out by the end of the episode. But that was genuinely just a genius episode.
I agree completely.
And then
great idea for a villain.
He kills the double.
Right.
That's how he covers up loose ends. When the guy comes to collect his money after performing the task, he kills him.
Yep.
Makes him disappear. It's genius.
It is.
I mean, the writer of this episode was, is this show Kelly Johnson? Yeah, Kelly Johnson. Good for her. Coming up with such a great, like, villain, bad guy, and a cool idea.
Kelly could be a guy's name.
Good for Kelly. Who appears this to be her first episode. He or she wrote this season. But yeah, it was great. It really was.
I agree. I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved every minute of it.
Of course, you know, at the end, Reddington gets his hand on Mr. Raleigh Sinclair III and hides him away for reasons we don't know yet.
I think he's trying to create his own double. He's going to use Raleigh to create his own thing to whatever. Disappear off the grid.
Make his own death.
Something. And he wants to lure out the people who, you know, who we've discovered are an actual law enforcement agency. And
Red does that thing where, you know, he uses the FBI task force to find the guy that he wants him to find. Then he takes him away, takes the blacklister away to hide him away for whatever reason. And then he gives them something in return. Well, yes, you're right. I did take them, and you can't have him to convict him of murder. However, you can have these 27 other people that got away with murder.
Right.
And these 26 others that can't be tried for double jeopardy, but at least you'll know what actually happened. And, you know, those cases can be closed out and on and on and on. So, like, and again, the task force has become so just complacent with bending the rules so that their relationship with Reddington works, because at the end of the day, you know, they are stopping violent criminals. They're putting people away. They're arresting murderers, on and on and on.
Yep.
So it's like the good with the bad.
Right.
Exactly. And in this episode, Elizabeth takes the police officer that's investigating Tom's death, who has been also following Elizabeth, and brings him to the task force so he can be told about Writington and, you know, what they're doing and how they're working together and everything like that. So, and to justify what's happening. Because she doesn't tell him, well, Writington's my dad, that's why I'm with him.
Right.
He's like, well, I can prove to you why I'm seen with him and why it's okay. Or why you can trust me, or whatever it is. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I still don't know if he's, is it Sinclair?
Yeah,
Sinclair. So. I still don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. Right. Because it's they're alluding to that he might be a bad guy, so they're kind of playing him both sides right now.
Yep.
As far as they're leaving us to not know who he who he's aligned with, but was Fusco in this episode? No, that was Taken. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anything to add to that?
No.
Okay. Cool. I just watched that this morning. Before coming home.
That would explain why it's so fresh in your
mind. Very, very fresh in my tired mind, yeah. What else did you watch, sir?
Well, iZombie came back this week.
Oh, okay.
And again, I keep selling this show. It's awesome. It really has grown as a show. Where you look at shows like Arrow or Supernatural or, you know, the world kind of grows with them.
Yep.
You know, Flash changes a little bit, but it's still the basic thing. You know, it might expand a little bit. This show has changed from the first season. Like, it is such a drastic change from, you know, oh, she's a zombie and she's trying to figure out her place in the world, to we're at a point right now where there's actually a walled-in city of zombies that are trying to make their way in the world. Like, the scope of this show and the world itself has grown so much that it astounds me. It's a great show, great characters. I really, really strongly recommend this. I don't even want to talk deeply about it because it'll give away too much.
How many seasons are they in right now?
I think this is the fourth or fifth.
Let's see here. I think many of the episodes you're either on either Hulu or Netflix.
Yep.
Or right on the – maybe it's right even on the
– the most recent ones are on the CWS.
CW app, yeah. Let's see here. Well, you know, there's only 47 episodes, so it's not insurmountable.
Right.
So maybe this summer I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Because the first season's only 13 and 19 for season 2, which was kind of weird, and then 13 for season 3 and 4 so far.
Yep.
So.
Again, I really like this show. I really strongly recommend it. It is based on a comic book. It's got zombies. It's got death. It's got great character development. Yeah, I really, really think people would like this show. But, again, I don't want to talk too deeply because there's been so much growth and change that if I started saying, well, this week this happened, it would ruin everything from the first few seasons because stuff changes. I watched a new show this week.
Yeah, what?
Called Good Girls.
See, all right, how was it?
It was actually pretty good.
Does it have legs to be a series considering what the storyline plot is?
So far, yes. And I worried about that as well. Because, I mean, the basic plot is that they rob a supermarket.
Yeah.
But it turns out, you know, you get these three women. You get Christina Hendricks, who's married to Matthew Lillard for some reason. They've got four kids together. Goodness. And he's cheating on her. You know, in the first episode, we find out that he's cheating on her with, because he's a car salesman and his secretary, whatever, is, you know, the hot blonde. And so he's cheating on her. Then you've got Retta, the big black woman from Parks and Rec. Her daughter is very sick and she has a disease and she needs treatment. And then you have the other one who, if I'm not mistaken, the only thing that I really remember her from is she was one of the evil exes on Scott Pilgrim versus the World. She was the girlfriend, Roxy Richter.
Okay.
And she's like, she tries to be the cool mom, but she's got the kid who's like confused. She's a daughter, but she dresses like a guy and she gets picked on a lot. And she's gone through a divorce and now dad has the new girlfriend and they're trying to like win over the daughter and she's trying to just maintain. So they all get together and realize that they need money for different things. You know, Matthew Lillard's not only cheating on her, but he has taken out like three mortgages and maxed out all the credit cards and they've got nothing to show for it. So they're underwater. They're going to lose the house, medical bills, trying to support the child. So they rob a grocery store. And
why a grocery store?
Because, Roxy, I'll just call her that, works at a grocery store, says, oh, yeah, this is how it works. I mean, it's really easy. You know, people come in here all the time and stick up their registers and they take the money and we're told not to, you know, we just put our hands up because it's not worth losing our lives for. It's not our money. But what they don't realize is that there's money in the safe that's like 100 grand and they could easily go in back and steal the money out of the safe and get away with a lot more, but they don't realize that. Well, we could do that. Well, you'd have to go out back where there's no cameras and blow. So she knows the ins and outs, yeah. And they decide, well, let's do it. And I mean, the first episode kind of plays out like a movie because, you know, they do it and then they discover that, oh, this guy from the cartel came looking for them because they actually got away with like $1 million or more. Because there was a lot more.
So there's some laundering going through there, yes. Or something like that.
So now they want their money back plus interest. And the manager of the grocery store where this girl works recognized her because of her tramp stamp. So he's going to blackmail them. It's actually really not bad.
Really?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed quite a bit of it. It's got a few comedic things to it, but it's mostly dramatic.
I just question how they're going to make a whole series run with this.
Yeah.
So
It'll be interesting. But I liked it. I liked it. I would give it a recommend. Not like a super hard, like, you got to watch this, but I would definitely give it a, you know, give it a look.
Taken season 2 continues to be very excellent to watch. Yep. Like, I really enjoy it.
Okay.
This week's episode was about sex trafficking.
Yum.
And Brian and his girl partner there, usually she's the one that helps him get out of things at the end.
Right, the exfiltration.
Yeah. They more or less kind of work together on this one because she kind of has a history dealing with something like this in her past.
Gotcha.
So she was kind of wanting to be front and center on this. And it was a very, very good episode. No one was taken. But they basically they broke up a sex trafficking ring.
Yeah.
That had dealt with some foreign consulate as well in there, so there's some diplomatic things they have to go through or whatnot. But it was just good episode, good story, good action, good fight scenes. I mean, season 2 is head and shoulders above better season 1.
And you really like season 1.
I enjoyed season 1, but season 2 is so much better.
Good.
Like, I give it a hard sell. Like, you should probably check it out. You don't even have to watch season 1. You can literally just watch season 2. No, sincerely. Like, you know, like, there's so far, there's nothing that happened in season 1 that you need to know that they don't summarize in season 2, basically, and then the first episode.
Yep.
And then from episode 2 on, it's like you're watching a brand new show. You know, it's like they really took a strong direction change from season 1 to 2, and I definitely think it was for the better.
Good.
Yeah. So watch it.
Nice.
Watch it. Did I talk about Cardinal last week?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. I'll talk about it right now.
Okay.
So Cardinal is a Canadian TV series.
Eight.
They've had 6 episodes a season. It's based on books. And it's based on a fictional town in Canada. And they do involve with some First Nations people as well, which is what they call their Native Americans here. They call them First Nations people in Canada. Okay. And, you know, this season 2, I think one of the things that helps it the most is, like, all of season 1 was essentially written by the same woman, except for one episode, and all directed by the same person.
Okay.
And then season 2, again, for the there was 6 episodes. There was 3 people that each wrote 2 episodes, and the same guy directed them all. So it has the same good feel and flow and story, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And again, this is just a essentially in the first episode of season 2, and this is on Hulu, by the way, they find a woman who has been apparently she's been shot in the head. And there's a bullet lodged in her brain. It's kind of giving her some amnesia. So the story is
trying she's alive.
Yes.
Okay.
The bullet was faulty and didn't have a good load. So it didn't shoot out as fast as the person thought.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, it happens. So anyways, essentially the whole 6 episode involves Cardinal's the main character. He's the main detective guy. In the first season, he was being investigated by his new partner.
Does he have a partner named Bishop?
No.
Oh.
And in this season, they're working together, and she's no longer investigating him. But essentially, something happened in the first season where they thought he was dirty, so they were investigating him, but he wasn't. Okay. It was something his wife had done. He was covering up for her because she's had some mental health issues. And in this season, we meet his wife, and we see him and her, you know, in the struggling with her mental health issues. And we also see him and with his partner investigating this case of this woman who was shot in the head and what happened to her and everything. And there's some cult, like, not cult, but some, yeah, little cultish type things going on, or maybe witchcraft or whatever you want to call it. There's some human sacrifice issues going on in this. And it was just really good. Like, six episodes went by fast, and I really enjoyed it. They're doing a third season, which is going to be based on another book by this author. I don't know who the author is. Let's see if I see it. Let's see if it's right here. Okay, Blunt. What is it? Giles Blunt. It's his book. The first season is based on 40 Words of Sorrow. The second season is built on Black Fly season. And then the third is slated to be based on By the Time You Read This and Crime Machine, which are the fourth and fifth novels in the series of this of the Cardinal Mystery series. So
gotcha.
It's actually really, really good. So it's with only six episodes, it's not a big threat to check it out.
Where do you find that?
It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
You got anything else?
Nothing that I really want to talk about.
Okay.
For shows, at least.
You know. Oh, okay. Like I said, The Good Doctor was good this week.
Yeah.
Or last week, whatever you want to call it. There's a teenager who was born with her heart on the outside of her chest.
Yeah, it's really creepy looking.
Yeah, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that basically the episode is about her. She's now 15, so she's allegedly big enough for it to go on the inside, but she's not, so they have to try and figure out a way to possibly make this happen. And
because, you know, in typical teenage fashion, she's on her phone all the time and yes. Talking to all of her viewers and, you know, like me and subscribe to me. And then as soon as she finds out that, you know, it'd be too risky, she throws a hissy fit. So she never wants to be on her phone again. No. And
see, I didn't take it as that. I took it as that was the only way she had contacted people. She wasn't allowed to hug people. She wasn't allowed to go to school. She wasn't allowed to be in clouds. So to try and make herself happy, she was all about social media.
I get that.
That's how it worked for her.
Yeah.
And then when they told her, oh, we can't do that, that's when she threw her phone. It was like, I'm tired of this. I want to be around people. I want to hug someone. I want to be in groups. I want to get bumped into. So, like,
she needs to realize that people suck. Being around them isn't that great.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but she's never experienced this. Right. She doesn't. She's never hugged her parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as a parent who has – like, I couldn't imagine having
three
never,
kids.
Three kids, yes. I could never imagine.
Sounds like you hesitated there for a second. You're like, parent who has. I could never imagine.
I could never. I could never imagine not ever hugging one of them.
Right.
So that kind of hit home with me.
Seems like it would come up even accidentally. You know, as a toddler, wouldn't they just, like, run into things? Well, wouldn't they come over and, like, hug or.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising, yes.
Yeah, that she made it this far in her life without getting a hug or bumping into a leg.
So we have a new doctor who's, 45, and he was a cop?
Yeah.
And
I like him as an actor.
I like him as an actor a lot, yeah. I like this character a lot. And basically, there's this ex-Russian hitman guy that wants to donate a kidney or liver or something like that.
Yes.
But he has an allergic reaction to the anesthetic, and so they wouldn't let him. And because of that, and so, I mean, it's good. I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. This is 2 weeks in a row, I think. Is it two weeks in a row? Maybe. I don't know. There's a couple really good episodes. The one with the conjoined twins.
Yep.
That was great, I thought. And then this one.
Yep.
Was really, really good. So, yeah.
I'll agree with that.
So, The Detour.
The Detour.
We talked about him being on the boat.
Yep. The most recent one that I watched was when he first gets off the boat.
Okay.
And they've got the whole wedding clan.
I've watched the one after that.
Okay. I almost did, but then I didn't.
Yeah. He comes off, and he comes off the boat, and he finds out that his wife got all his letters, never wrote him back, never got the money.
Because she's like, well, where would I have sent it?
Right.
To the middle of the ocean?
Never got
the money.
The money.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. Her dad's back in her life and bought them this big, huge house. And her sister's there, and they're like BFFs.
Yep.
And when he shows up, she's ready to have their wedding finally and get married and everything like that. And he's just like wants to hug his wife.
Yeah, he just wants to take a beat.
And he just wants to, yeah. And he can't. And yep. It's stressful for him.
Yeah.
And his people are treating him like shit.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, my first note was Robin sucks. My second note was Delilah's being a bitch.
Yeah. Delilah's being awful. And then.
Terrible.
And then their son is just being, he's the mayor, but it's no longer a joke. And he has handlers now. And
yeah. And his handlers are keeping him away from everybody.
The best part is when his father-in-law takes him to not foxy boxing or not lingerie football, but it's the equivalent of hockey.
Foxy hockey
on a short or a small track. And,
very small.
Yes. And there's a big fight right in front of him. And he knows who the girls are because he's seen them before. And there's a big fight. And one gets taken out of the game. And they need someone to fill in, so he fills in, and he just starts wrecking
them ass
with checks and then scoring. And the people are booing, and hey, we don't want to watch this well-played, organized hockey.
Right, exactly.
So, and then there's kind of a weird thing, because to me, like, the love between Robin and Nate has always been, like, strong. Like, they're a strong duo together no matter what. And then now he's, like, reminiscing, and all he's thinking about is he sees the U.S. Postal Inspector. He doesn't know that's who it is, though.
Right.
And all he thinks about is all the negative shit that she's done or said or
his wife has done.
His wife. And then the other time, and then on the other hand, he thinks of all the positive and fun things that the U.P.I.S. Inspector has done, which, I mean, they were around each other for, like, a short time.
Right.
So then he goes to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
and that's how that
that's how it ends. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and he doesn't go to the wedding,
right?
And he stands his wife up at the altar.
Yeah, because the reason that he's so mad at her is because he stood by her through all this.
Yes,
through every gross, nasty, stupid, ridiculous thing that she's done, and they show us a nice little montage.
Yes,
just of this season.
Yeah,
I mean, not even seasons before.
Yeah, and she doesn't even come pick him up.
Right,
and then his soon-to-be father-in-law's like, think about this. She didn't have the common courage to come pick your ass up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, this guy is the reason that they're on the run, and yet she's like, oh, no, he bought us this big house. I wanted to buy the
About
house.
Time someone's taking care of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to buy us the house. That's why I said to them, oh, I didn't get the money. Well, did you get my letters? Oh, yeah, but I didn't reach back because I didn't know where I would. Well, I needed that. You know, I needed somebody to be there for me. Well, she wasn't there for you, and now it's all about her.
Yeah.
It's all about, this is my wedding, and I want this, and I want this. And she's taking her sister's side, who we've all agreed is a horrible person.
Horrible, horrible person.
So he's looking at her, and he's like, wow, I go away for a little while, and you turn into this awful person. Maybe you were this awful person all along.
But even then, he tries to stick by her
until
he just can't. When they're at the rehearsal, he can't do it anymore. And he goes to try and say, like, well, for 7 months, I was on a boat. And she's just like, this is not a competition. Who had it worse? He goes, yes, it is.
And I'm winning.
Very much is so.
Yeah.
And this is why.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know why I like the show so much.
It's ridiculous.
It's funny. But, like, these last couple episodes have been very dramatic.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
dark.
Not, yes, and dark, which is not typical.
No.
The most recent episode is, I'm just going to say it's their version of Open Water.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's good. It's good. It's very good. Watch any movies?
I did.
What'd you watch?
I went to the theater and I watched Game Night.
How was it?
It was really good.
Was it funny?
I had a lot of laughs in that movie.
You did?
So, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams meet over trivia night.
Yeah.
You know, they're each captain of their own team, and they both are very trivial persons, but they're both very competitive, and this is how they meet and fall in love, and we get to see a quick montage of them falling in love and getting married. And now they host game nights, and the characters are great. You know, they've got the couple that's – it's Winston from New Girl and his girlfriend, and they've been like – they were like middle school sweethearts. They've been together their entire life. You know, we've always known each other, and they blah, blah, blah. Then you've got their one male friend who's a complete, like, dipshit.
Yep.
Like, he's an idiot, but he always brings a different girl to game night because they never last.
He's like Ted.
Kinda, yeah. No, more like Barney.
Okay.
But yeah, Ted in bringing the different girl, but he's more like a Barney type. And then... one of the best characters in this movie you don't see a lot of.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons. Okay. the main character slash captain from the first episode of Black Mirror this season.
Yes.
Okay. Also was in a season of Fargo.
Yes.
The Matt Damon lookalike.
Yes.
Jesse Plemons.
Yes.
He plays the security officer or the police officer that lives next door to Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman. And he plays an emotionless, straight-faced character the whole time. Like, you know what he looks like. And he'll just constantly be like, I noticed you were picking up lots of chips. Seems like an awful lot of chips for just two people. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, they had a sale. Interesting. And then later on, he, like, does an investigation to find out that there was no sale on the chips. But it's a riot. Jason Bateman's brother comes back into town, and he wants to host game night at his place, and he sets up a kidnapping, a fake kidnapping. It's one of these, like, murder mystery places, except for it's kidnapping, and someone's going to get kidnapped, and whoever, you know, finds them first wins the keys to this car. His car. It's a Camaro, I believe. And it goes wrong because he really gets kidnapped. But nobody knows that he really gets kidnapped. They think that it's all part of the game.
Nice.
And it's a riot. It's a really funny movie. There's
a scenario where people are in real danger and they don't realize they're in real danger. And so they're kind of arrogant and brash about it.
Yes.
And like, not acting normal.
Oh, yes. Watching Rachel McAdams dance around a bar while three guys are down on the floor with their hands behind their head, and she's playing with a gun that's really loaded, and she's, like, singing into it and then putting it up to them. Going, you sing the next line. It's a riot. I laughed a lot during this movie.
Nice. I like movies like
that. Go check it. You don't have to see it in theaters. I mean, you're not missing anything.
But check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
You watch any movies?
I watched two.
Okay.
They're both on Netflix.
Okay.
I watched the first one's called The Vault. And
it's about pole vaulting in the Olympics.
Nope. The synopsis is two estranged sisters are forced to rob a bank in order to save their brother, but this is no ordinary bank.
And they have to vault up over the wall? No.
James Franco is also in it.
Has to do everything.
The bank vault.
Oh.
And there's
vault. Yeah.
There's some supernatural elements
to it. Ooh,
yeah,
this is no ordinary bank.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to say much more about it than that, other than, like, I actually really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the story was pretty solid. I thought Taryn Manning, whatever, she's in it as well.
Oh, from Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, she's one of the sisters. So. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. It's only like an hour and a half, so it's not even a huge commitment.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out, though. The other movie I watched was called Catfight, and it starred Anne Heche and Sandra Oh.
Oh.
And these are two former college friends, frenemies, as they like to say in the fucking – I hate that word. Anyways, so they get into a fight, a knockdown, drag-out fight near the beginning of the movie where one of them – it's weird because I kind of don't want to give it away, but I do. There's three fights in the movie that these two have.
Wow.
And there's elements where people where maybe someone's in a coma for a couple of years, and it's in a kind of a weird future where, like, we keep getting these news reports from a kind of almost like a fake Ed Sullivan type guy, and like the president has reinitiated the draft because we're in like a big like third world war, and it's interesting.
Hmm.
It's interesting. The fight scenes aren't, by all that means, phenomenal, but it's kind of an interesting storyline. Alicia Silverstone, isn't it? She plays Anne Heche's wife or girlfriend or something. Yeah, they're in a relationship, and they're trying to have a kid together. So
it doesn't work that way.
Anne Heche's character is one that's artificially inseminated, but like Alicia Silverstone, she is the one that's like being the mommy that when they have the baby shower – she's the one opening all the presents, and Heche is sitting off to the side. And, okay, I wrote down three comments that she made that just make me go, like, I almost wanted to fast-forward this part of the movie, but at the same time, it was just, like, one of those really over-the-top, pretentious new moms that knows everything and everyone else is stupid, and my baby's going to be – like, for instance, she opens up, like, a – an outfit, like a little shirt. Oh, this shirt's wonderful, though. Oh, but this tag says it contains 10% polyester. A baby's skin can't touch polyester. And she's like, oh, well, there's a gift receipt in the back. Oh, good, I'll return it then. And then this other person, then she opens up another gift from this person, which is like this fancy wooden toy that helps teach a baby how to crawl by watching this toy and everything. And she's like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. Yeah, we got it on our last vacation and everything. She goes, oh, wait, didn't you go to China? And the girl's like, well, yeah, but it's done by a renowned artist. And she's like, yeah, but they have no but they don't have the same standards like we do. I mean, like, they could be using – this could be with lead-based paint on it. I mean, we don't know. And the girl's like, no, no, I'm pretty sure it's good. It was pretty expensive, you know. Yeah, it's really just not worth the chance. Like, that type of pretentiousness. Oh. And then this is my favorite. She opens up a baby monitor. Ah. Oh. But this says it's Wi-Fi. Yeah, you can't have a Wi-Fi around a baby. It can affect the baby. It's bad for the baby's development. And then, like, no, no, it's fine. That's not going to happen anything to him. Yeah, my son Sam had one. He's absolutely fine. Wasn't your son Sam almost held back in first grade? So I guess it didn't work out very well. You know what I mean? Like, like, you almost get her ass beat so bad. But, yeah, like... It's, and the thing is, there's people that are really like that. I've met them. You know, that, no, it's that no one's ever had a baby before I had a baby.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm pregnant. I'm the first person in the history of the world.
Oh, you know what I mean? Or, no one's ever had difficulty having a baby like we did. No one's ever had the type of pregnancy like we had. Oh, no one's ever had a birth like we had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just...
We're unique.
Yeah, we're
unique. No, you're not.
No, you're not. There's 7 billion people in this world.
Yeah.
Okay? Birthdays cross over. It's not exciting when your birthday is 20 days apart. Oh, your birthday's June 24th. Mine's June 4th. Yay! Who gives a shit?
Right.
They're bound to cross over. If they're the same exact day, same exact year, okay, that's kind of, all right, yeah. But otherwise, it happens. You know? Yep. My cousin Tim and my buddy Jay, July 17th.
Oh, my God!
I know.
You could have a party for both of them.
But I don't.
Right.
So anyways, yeah.
Do you recommend the movie?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half. It's just odd, and it's kind of interesting, and it's kind of the weird little future world type they live in, and then the fights and the things that like, because the most absurd things happen. I still give it a strong sell, but I give it let's just check this out.
Okay.
You know, because if you don't like it after the first 15 minutes, then
turn it off.
But if you enjoy the first 15 minutes, you'll enjoy the rest of the movie.
Yeah, good.
I don't really have any news or trailers or anything.
I had a few trailers.
All right, what you got?
They had Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
Yeah, how was that?
Meh.
Okay.
I like the movie, the original movie. I think this is going to be, I don't want to say a cash grab, but...
It's a cash grab?
Kind of a cash grab. You know, old arcade machines was the draw of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, yep.
Now the guy hooks up a wireless router and all of a sudden all the games are online. That doesn't work that way.
It does. Did you see Atari's coming out with a new game console?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was odd. Anyways, go ahead.
Luke Cage, Season 2, got its first trailer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's coming out June 22nd. All episodes.
I wonder if I'll struggle as badly like I did with Season 1.
I don't know. I'm still struggling with Black Lightning, I got to be honest. And part of the problem with Black Lightning for me is that, you know, when you're watching Flash and, like, he's running through the city and they're playing that heroic music?
Yes.
You know, or Arrow, they've got the darker, brooding music.
Right.
Black Lightning, most of the music that's filler is hip-hop.
And you're like, not a hip-hop fan.
All the words and everything. Oh. You know, it's like some of these hip-hop artists actually wrote songs specifically for the show, so they're talking about the characters and the world, and it just really takes me out of it.
Huh, okay.
I don't like it at all.
Interesting concept.
But my favorite trailer of the week
absolutely
was Lost in Space reboot.
Oh, I saw that. I did see that. Oh, my God, does that look awesome.
That looks great.
Yes, I watched that yesterday.
Oh.
Robot's a little different.
Robot's a lot different.
Yep.
Dude.
It looks – I'm watching the trailer. I didn't realize it was Lost in Space at first. I'm watching the trailer. I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah.
I want to watch this. What is this? And then finally I said, ooh, okay. So
I'm going to say this. It probably won't mean much to you, but there's people out there who are probably going to agree with me. This looks a lot like Mass Effect, the video game series.
Okay.
And even the robot looks like one of the Geth – And it's phenomenal. I am so stoked for this.
Yeah.
Because it looks a lot like that. It was a great series. But this, like, this isn't a movie. This is going to be a TV series.
Yeah.
And it's coming out, what, April 13th?
Mm-hmm.
And I am stoked. This looks so good.
You know, I really enjoy, like, sometimes, like the other day on Netflix, I really wanted to watch a good comedy. Something, I guess, like Game Night. I just didn't really find anything. That's why I ended up watching Catfight. And then, you know, sometimes you just want to watch a good space adventure.
Yep.
Or a good Western or whatever. And you struggle sometimes to find one.
Yeah.
That fits the bill. But boy, that Lost in Space looks awesome.
It really does. It looks like they pulled out all the stops. Like, they have a big budget. Awesome. And yeah.
Did you watch 7 Seconds at all yet?
No.
Okay.
No, nope, not yet.
But anyways,
I keep seeing it show up in my news feed. So.
The Jessica Jones trailers keep jumping up. That opens up. The 8th.
Tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow's the 8th.
Today's the 7th, yeah.
Yeah. So that drops on the 8th. So 3 a.m., you're up. Start watching it.
I won't be.
I will be.
I hope I won't be.
I will because I'll be at work.
Yeah. I hope I won't be at work.
And if Rude bangs out, you never know.
Anyway.
Not that he will, but.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah. Cool.
I think that's the show.
Nice.
We covered a lot.
We did cover a lot.
There was a lot to watch.
Yeah. So I guess you can find us on online and social media formats.
Aww. Yes. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter and we're on the Twitter engine. Yeah. The old Twitter moda.
Twitter moda. Are you just making up words now?
Well, moda is like an engine.
Oh, motor.
Yeah, moda.
Not moda.
No, it's a moda. Not like a Motorola.
God damn it.
But like a moda. Like in
your, just because you're from like, Maine doesn't like mean you have to sound bonnet, like you're from Maine.
Like under the bonnet.
Oh.
Last night I put the truck rammed into the front of the store, and now it's wicked stove up.
Nice.
They knew what I meant.
Tell me you put that out in the file.
No.
That would have been great.
No, I didn't do it in the file. I just did it on the radio. Anyhow, I'm at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Show is at What Did You Watch? And on the Facebook engine, it's What Did You Watch This Week?
It's not an engine. It's not a motor.
It is this week.
Oh, God damn it. Talk to you next week, everybody. The modus operandi.